Oh, welcome, boys and girls. Welcome. It is the last Sunday before Halloween. It's hopefully we're not going to talk about a topic that scares too many of you, but it certainly scares a variety of people out there today, as we are going to be discussing the ballot measure one, the Marshall Newman Amendment. I guess the way to get people interested a little more and explain it a little better, which is part of today's program, the Virginia Marriage Amendment, and what that's all about. I like to call these shows a community roundtable discussions because I just sort of pick people off the street. I'd network my way into finding some guests. I like to have people from all sides, or at least two sides of the program. Today, however, I don't want to say they chickened out because I don't know exactly what happened there, but I have two folks representing the vote no side, and that's part of my one of the questions for the day is how do you determine exactly what vote no and what vote yes means on marriage. But I have two women here today talking about why we should be against the Marshall Newman Amendment, and the gentleman that I had asked to come on and who had agreed to come on to talk about why he was going to support the amendment sent me an email this morning claiming that after a family discussion that he was uncomfortable being here. So I'll need the support of the phone callers, like I often do, but I will need the strong support of callers today to participate in our program. Let us know, ask any questions that you have. We'll do our best to answer them. But to let us know what you're thinking of doing in terms of voting yes or no on the upcoming ballot, I believe November 7th is the big day. Before we get started, let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support of the hour. For campus, town, or mountain trails, you can choose from brands like Patagonia, Mountain Hardware, and the North Face for outerwear and over 170 styles of footwear. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Here in Charlottesville, they're at Wintergreen, they're in Richmond, and at BRMS.com. All right, so let's introduce the guests who did arrive for the program. Ladies, we'll go left to right. We have Lynn here. Lynn, how are you?
Hi, Rick. I'm great.
Lynn told me that she's a 50-ish white female heterosexual, and you do have at least one child, correct?
I have three children. I have one who lives in Charlottesville, and then I have a married child, all of them grown up, in Ithaca, New York, and an unmarried daughter in Germany.
Very nice. And and you are heterosexual with children who at some point in your life, I think you told me that you're currently a single mom, but
I was married for almost 29 years and am now divorced.
Okay. And your plan is to vote against the amendment?
Absolutely.
But we also have Rosie here in the studio. Rosie is in an 18-year committed lesbian relationship, but the mother of a 22-year-old female, correct?
That's right. I was married before to a man. It took me a long time to come to terms with my sexuality. I grew up not even hearing the word lesbian. I didn't know what was going on with me. When I did figure it out, my husband and I worked through it. It wasn't easy, and it wasn't without pain, but we came through it mutually respecting each other, and we still have a pretty close relationship. He has remarried, and my partner and I sometimes vacation with him and his wife, and we've all participated in raising my daughter, who is 22 and a senior at Oberlin College in Ohio.
All right, so those are the two guests in the studio today, which is why it's important for you to participate and be a guest outside the studio today by phone, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 1-877-967-6762. That's the toll-free line for those of you a little further out, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Those closer to home, 979-0919. And remember that two rules here on the wake-up call, no dirty words. You must be polite to the guests. Sometimes the more excitable topics lead to one or the other of those rules being tested. Michael's here today to patch you through if you want to call up and question or comment at any time. Let him work his magic. All right, ladies, let's start from the basics, because I think one of the comments that those voting against the amendment have made is that a wide variety of people who would vote or are voting on November 7th don't really understand what the marriage bill is about. They didn't know it was there. They are misled or feel uninformed. Do either one of you want to take that topic on about sort of laying some groundwork here about the wording, et cetera?
Well, it's not surprising to me that people don't know what's going on, because the legislature absolutely zoomed it through on the first day of the session. And even people who, like Equality Virginia, people who have taken a professional interest in these issues for years, were caught when the legislature decided it had to be on the ballot and that it was the most important issue facing Virginians this November. They decided back in January to rush it through and put it on our ballot.
Rosie, as far as you go, I think when you and I exchanged some emails, you said that you didn't feel that there had been a fair amount of public discourse.
That's right, I don't. I was in the room in Richmond when it did go through the Privileges and Elections Committee both times, and any attempt at discussion was shut down. So there was no opportunity to hear any discussion about why the language should be mitigated or clarified. It was basically pushed through by the majority party. I feel like that does a disservice, regardless of who's in the majority. I think we need to have discourse on topics like this. I think that another reason that people aren't sure what's going on is that the language is so unclear and nebulous. A lot of people have assumed that the second two sentences are merely the legalese that makes the first sentence work, but I would like to disabuse them of that notion. The first sentence merely restates a law that has been on the Virginia books since the 70s. It's not legal for a same-sex couple to be married in Virginia. In order for that to be reversed, we would have to have a Virginia Supreme Court that would support reversing that. I don't see that happening in my lifetime. This constitutional amendment, in effect, takes the issue away from the legislature and places it in the hands of judges. And there are a lot of words in those second two sentences that are not legally defined, and the whole concepts are unclear. We've never defined what the rights of marriage are.
Do either one of you ladies have those three sentences in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Can you read that for an attempt? I realize that, you know, we just tossed out the word legalese, but for a lot of folks, if you're not reading it and you're just listening to it, it's more important for us to speak it at a slower, cautious pace to entertain, to, you know, so you can intertwine it. Can you do that for me?
Yeah. You know, we've already outed me as a person who's against this amendment, so this is not a secret. But I think when people look at the amendment, they see, oh, this is about marriage and blah, 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 blah. And what Rosie just said was, no, it's not. It's about marriage and a lot of other things that are written in a way that make it really scary. So the first of it is that only a union between one man and one woman may be a marriage valid in or recognized by the Commonwealth and its political subdivisions.
Now let's stop there. That's sentence number one.
Right.
Now that already exists as a law in the state of Virginia.
It's a law two or three times over. It was made a law in the 70s. It was made a law again in HB 751. And I believe there was a law passed in the early 90s or late 80s that, in effect, made it a law yet again.
We don't even, Virginia doesn't at this point even recognize same-sex marriages that other states have made legal, correct?
Correct.
So if, Rosie, you and your partner were to be married in
Massachusetts is the only place you can get married in this country.
And you were to be married in Massachusetts and continue living in Virginia, you don't get any of the benefits, I guess, legal benefits?
Oh, no. We wouldn't. I don't think we would even be able to be married in Massachusetts legally. I think that marriage in Massachusetts is only for people who are legal residents, and now they've extended the courtesy to Rhode Island natives. But it's a long way from being a come to Massachusetts and get married, go home and make trouble kind of scenario. It's not there at all. In fact, were we to go to Canada and get married, our marriage would still be invalid once we crossed back into the United States. It's not legal in this country.
So you have to live where you get married.
Basically, yeah.
No, that's only true for same-sex couples.
Yeah.
If I were married and I moved to Kansas, there would be no problem.
Thank you for picking up on that little note.
Yeah, thanks.
No, well, I was trying to slip that in there somewhere, and Lynn brought that out. It seems, well, again, and I'm trying to stay as the moderator for the most point, but it's not going to take any length of time for somebody to pick up on where I'm voting on the 7th either, which is all the more reason for other folks to call in, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. The three of us can banter back and forth about this all we'd like, and make the hour as educational as possible with our points of view intertwined in that, but feel free to call in. All right, so that's the first sentence, is sort of repeating a law that's already there. Same-sex couples cannot be married in Virginia, and there any attempt at marriage will not be recognized.
Right, and here's where we get into trouble with the, well, I personally think we're already in trouble with the first sentence, but the second sentence goes on to say, the Commonwealth and its political subdivisions shall not create or recognize a legal status for relationships of unmarried individuals that intends to approximate the design, qualities, significance, or effects of marriage. That's a real ballpark statement.
A lot of people have focused on the fact that it's civil marriage, correct? I don't even think that's the right jargon for it. But really, that's all that they're saying is that, hey, that that sort of understood rule about being together for 6 or 7 years and then you can get the benefits of being legally married, we'll give that to you. And now we're taking that away.
Are you thinking about common law marriage?
Common law marriage.
Okay, because one of the things is that there are a lot of different kinds of relationships. I believe that marriage is a religious right and that churches do decide who can be married and who can't. For example, in the Catholic Church, if you've been divorced, you can't get married again. In the Unitarian Church, you can get married if you want to with a partner, same or different sex, stand up and be united. You can be married. But those marriages, those religious marriages, have no legal standing outside of the church. Civil marriage is the paper that the authorized representative of the state signs that makes you married in the eyes of Virginians. That means that you can claim that you're married on your taxes, for instance, and you get a big tax benefit. It means that any children from that union are children of both of you, and that you have equal privileges and responsibilities with regard to those children. So all of the things that we think of as marriage in the legal sense, that's civil marriage. And civil marriage, for example, exists in Vermont for people who are, no, civil marriage exists in Massachusetts for people who are same-sex. In Vermont, there's a civil union which has some of the privileges and responsibilities and not others. Then there's also domestic partnerships. But what this sentence is saying is that none of those, and I think that it was put in there intentionally because they don't want you saying, well, this isn't a marriage, this is a domestic partnership that we're recognizing. But it throws a lot of things into chaos because, for example, over half of the Fortune 500 companies now allow domestic partnerships to have certain benefits on the job. If that is purported to have some of the benefits of marriage, is that illegal under this proposed amendment? Or not? That's where some of the questions start to arise.
Also, I don't believe there is a common law marriage in Virginia. There's not really a provision where after so many years you are viewed as married in this state.
One of the things that, one of the questions that I have, and I've asked a few folks that I know on both sides of this particular issue, by the way, we are talking about the upcoming, what I keep calling the Virginia Marriage Amendment, the Marshall Newman Amendment, ballot measure one, which you'll find on your, on the voting scheme on Tuesday, November 7th, is why do we need this as an amendment? If we already have laws that say that same-sex couples cannot get married, if we already have, we do not recognize common law marriage. Why do we need an amendment that effectively says the same thing? Especially when there are certain sides of the political group that want fewer decisions made by the judges and want more decisions left to the people and the politicians. And I realize that none of the three of us are constitutional, you know, professors or anything like that. But again, it's meant to draw that, you know, out. And maybe I have a phone call question here, but it doesn't apply at the moment. So, anybody?
Well, no. I did bring with me the League of Women Voters fact sheet on this, and in the absence of somebody to come and articulate the pro-amendment point of view, it does have a list of things that supporters say. And the main thing that they say is that they're afraid activist judges will overturn state laws that Virginia has, and that if we had a constitutional amendment, then activist judges would not be able to overturn our laws.
Well, I don't understand why we need a constitutional amendment, and I don't know if you know Harvey Wilkinson, who is a judge in Virginia, a very conservative judge, and he is a constitutional scholar of some note. He himself says this amendment is in the wrong place, that this type of law doesn't belong in the constitution of a state. It belongs in the legislature, and I agree with him on that. It does.
All right, 11:20 here in the wake-up call. We are talking about the upcoming Virginia Marriage Amendment vote, regardless of what your opinion is. And the ladies in the room may disagree with me, but please go out and vote, because there are other things out there that are important that you should be voting for or against, including people.
Go back to what... We could go back to what Rob Marshall says about the importance of this amendment, and he is a co-patron of the amendment, at a recent debate at the law school, he said that it was important because if we started letting just anybody get married, it would be like printing counterfeit money. And that's something I found a little bit hard to understand, how a marriage between Rosie and her partner would have any effect at all on a marriage between Rob Marshall and his partner. It seems to me it's more like having the opportunity to try on a pair of shoes that actually fits you rather than having counterfeit money in the streets. But Rob Marshall's not here, so I may have misunderstood his point of view.
All right, let me give you the weather. We'll come back. Hopefully, I'll go through the question that I've been sent in. Someone didn't want to come on the phone. Please feel free to come on air if you'd like. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. The markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Partly cloudy with gusty winds today. Highs 60 to 65. Clear tonight. Lows 35 to 40. Sunny tomorrow. Highs 65 to 70. Right now it's clear in the valley and 57, clear in Richmond and 61, cloudy in Lynchburg, 56, and Charlottesville, nice and clear, 54.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support today. They are Seville Reader's Choice for Burgers. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. They're in the Hollymead Town Center and now on the Downtown Mall in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's F-I-V-E-guys.com. And WNRN reminds those of you who made pledges to the recent fund drive but who haven't paid them to please do so as soon as possible. People who can take your payment and help you with your premiums are here until at least 7 p.m. on weekdays and often later. And on weekends, if you call first, we're at 2250 Old Ivy Road in Charlottesville behind the Ivy Inn restaurant. The zip is 22903 if you're mailing in your pledge. The first round of written reminders to those with unpaid pledges has just gone out. And thanks again to those who have already honored their pledges to help us reach 94% collection on the nearly $82,000 pledged. All right, boys and girls, we're back in action with Lynn and Rosie. Actually coming from two different backgrounds, a little bit anyway. Lynn's heterosexual, Rosie homosexual, both with children, though. And let's get into that a little bit. Actually, no, let me ask this question. We were talking about the second sentence in the amendment. Will you read that again real quick for me, Lynn? Because this question that a caller sent in is in relation to that.
Okay, the second sentence is, "The Commonwealth and its political subdivisions shall not create or recognize a legal status for relationships of unmarried individuals that intends to approximate the design, qualities, significance, or effects of marriage."
Now, this caller wanted to know, could that deal with roommate situations?
Well, to be honest, we don't know what it deals with. That's part of the problem that I have with enacting it as a constitutional amendment. The language is not clear. They're using the word approximate, and they're talking about design, intent of marriage. We haven't defined these terms legally. I know that Equality Virginia commissioned a law firm in New York, I believe, to analyze the language in this amendment and report on it. 70 pages later, they said, well, actually, we don't know. Talk about activist judges. This gives them a pretty much of a carte blanche to define marriage. Now, for a while, that might go the way people want. You never know. We could wind up someday with progressive judges who would then eviscerate what we think of as marriage now in an effort to extend rights to people who are left out by this constitutional amendment. So the short answer to that one is we don't know. It could, and I'm afraid where it will give the greatest impetus to action is in families with a family member who is homosexual and the rest of the family disapproves. In that case, what is there to protect if this amendment passes? What is there to protect the gay member's will, the gay member's power of attorney? I see all those documents being made vulnerable if this amendment passes. So if you're in a roommate situation and you have made power of attorney documents with your roommate, if you've made a will that includes your roommate, if you jointly own property with your roommate, I don't know. I can't say to you that this wouldn't be affected by it. I don't have the same confidence about it that our Attorney General does, because I know that a constitutional amendment trumps the other laws in the state.
All right. What I was going to get to before I realized that I needed to ask that, each of you have children. And one of the talking points that has been brought up continuously for or against the amendment is about children. If you're for marriage, then you're keeping children safe and you're putting them in a relationship where they have both a mother and a father and the needs that go with that. If you're...
Wait a second. I think that Rosie and I are both for marriage.
And that's one of the things that I find to be interesting. If you look at all the signs in the yards, it says vote for marriage, vote no marriage.
No, ours just says vote no on ballot issue number one.
I haven't passed any of those, and I'm glad to know that they're out there.
There's one in my yard.
Mine too.
Because it's to me, it's a lot like the pro-life, pro-choice wording that's been chosen. Is who isn't pro-life and who isn't pro-choice if you take them away from the connotations that go with them?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The word marriage is really charged, and that's one of the reasons that we don't call it the Marriage Amendment. We call it the Marshall Newman Amendment. And there was a lot of discussion about this because we don't see it as ceding marriage to the other side. We are interested in making marriage accessible to everybody in the Commonwealth. We are interested in allowing people to choose to have a union with the person that they love the most in the whole world, whether that person is the same sex or the opposite sex. Because marriages and families do create stability in our society. And heterosexual marriages can create stability for families, and homosexual marriages can create stability for families, too. And I think that's really important to note.
But to do my best to toss out some devil's advocate lines here, aren't children better served by having both a mother and a father personality involved in their daily lives?
Okay, I'm not a research psychologist, but Charlotte Patterson at the University of Virginia is, and she says no, that children who are raised in stable same-sex partnership situations, you know, lesbian families, lesbian-headed families, gay-headed families, those kids do just fine. And in fact, I think if you really look at it, people who are same-sex have to really make a decision and really think through these issues, and it's not easy for them to have families. So they tend to be very loving and strong families. And if you if you actually look at the research, if you actually look at the people who are saying this, it's, you know, this is not Rosie and Lynn talking. This is the American Association of Pediatrics, who says children whose families are legally recognized grow up stronger, happier, better taken care of. It's the American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the National Group of Social Workers, of Family Physicians. It's not a bunch of fringe group homosexuals with an axe to grind. It's people who really care about kids, who are looking at research and who are saying, no, it's simply not true that a family needs a father and a mother and children to be a strong and stable family, to raise strong and stable kids.
Rosie, I'm going to assume that your daughter has grown up to be a smart, safe, secure person.
I like to think that. The evidence supports that statement so far.
Do you think that that other children, or let me start over again, would you believe that there is any difference at all between a child raised by a good set of parents who happen to be male-female versus a good set of parents who happen to be same-sex?
I think that the differences would probably be negligible. I think that if people would take the time to read the research, they'd be surprised at how negligible it is. And I was struck listening to another radio station that had a call-in show on foster children. Foster children called in and said, please, can't you allow same-sex couples to be foster parents? I'd rather have two gay dads than nothing. I'd rather have two gay moms than nothing. And I think that there is evidence to support that parenting skills do not magically coalesce when you pledge your life to a person of the opposite sex. I think that parenting skills are something that each person has to work on. And I do know that as a lesbian couple, my partner and I have spent hours honing our parenting skills because we feel the pressure of people looking at us and going, oh, their child, well. And my daughter has spoken to that, too, somewhat. But we've all decided at the end here that it's been worth it. And my daughter loves us both, and we love her.
And I definitely am glad I was never scrutinized in that way, because I don't know that my parenting skills would stand up.
I'm sure that my mother is often happy that she lives well outside of listening range on Sunday mornings. Let me take a moment. It is 11:33 here on the Wake Up Call, and we are talking about the Marshall Newman Amendment, ballot measure number one on your 11-7 voting platform. Will you or will you not allow the current laws against same-sex marriage to move from just being a law into being a constitutional amendment? Blue Ridge Graphics is one of our underwriters for the show today. Blue Ridge Graphics can be found at Mead Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. That number on page 739 of Charlottesville's Yellow Pages and at BlueRidgeGraphics.com. Ladies, do you think that well-informed, and let me toss it in there, that well-informed people who understand the legalese of the amendment and who are still voting for its implementation just don't like gays?
Well, that's certainly the easiest interpretation of their vote.
Because one of the things that I found interesting was I saw an article in the Washington Post where their poll shows that when voters are informed, the amendment vote is a dead heat. Well, I think we can, or at least I feel that I can believe that too many voters go into the polls underinformed, and whether that's by choice, by media misrepresentation, however you want to stick it out there, I believe that a fair chunk go into the polls underinformed.
Well, I would assume.
So doesn't that mean that the amendment's not going to pass? If you have to be informed to decide to vote.
No, it's the other way around.
That it's not. Yes, okay, you're correct. Yes, you're right. That's how I should have phrased it. But that the amendment is going to pass, that everyone is going to say, yes, of course. Let's keep same-sex people from not marrying.
Well, I think if you go back to what Rosie said earlier, there hasn't been a lot of chance to really talk about the issue. And the proponents of the amendment have tried very hard to have just the first sentence. Is marriage between a man and a woman? Because that's kind of a slam dunk. Most people haven't thought about it very much. Most people see that as what marriage is because that's what they were raised with. That's what they see all around them in society. That doesn't mean that it's right. I think for me an equivalent is most people see this as a Christian nation. Well, my Jewish next door neighbors kind of feel left out in the cold when you say this is a Christian nation. You know, the Islamic peoples down the street say, what about me? I'm an American. I was born in this country. It's not a Christian nation. It's a nation where we have a lot of Christians. This is a nation where we have a lot of heterosexuals. It doesn't mean that we can make the homosexual population not have the rights and privileges of citizenship based on their homosexuality. Homosexuality is not illegal in Virginia. It shouldn't be so hard.
Is that the next amendment?
Well, it's hard to say because actually, although the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that sodomy is not something that should be illegal, Virginia has never purged its sodomy rules from the books. So it's sort of in the vein of save your Confederate money, boys. The South will rise again.
Oh, goodness.
Just to pull in a few more metaphors.
Are you getting calls yet?
Oh, well, we had the phone ringing before that one, but I'm sure that something will work there.
No, my point, though, is that why hasn't Virginia purged its sodomy laws? They can't be enforced against homosexual people because of the Supreme Court ruling.
And I think it's fair to say that they never were enforced against heterosexual people. They were only enforced against homosexual people, and that, to me, is a big issue. Are there laws here that are being passed that only affect one group of people? Are there laws here and actions that are typical actions that are discriminatory against a group of people that, frankly, some people don't like? And, you know, that's not the way our country was founded. It's not the way our country is supposed to run. It's not the ideals of our country. If you don't like the way somebody dresses, you don't have to buy those clothes. But we don't pass laws that say you can't wear tube tops, you can't wear stiletto heels. And to me, if you are going to agree that sodomy laws are not enforceable, that homosexuality is not illegal, then you have to be able to create structures where homosexual people can live boring, ordinary, normal lives. And right now they can't.
All right, let's take a call from Lisa. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm great. What's happening?
Oh, I'm listening to the show and really, really enjoying it. I'm very impressed with all three of you for getting up there and saying what you think.
And what do you think?
Well, I have a question. I'm wondering if Rosie and Lynn would address the assumption out there that, you know, the way that this issue has been framed as a religious question, and the sort of assumption that Christians are supporting the amendment, sort of non-Christians are, or people who are not affiliated with a Christian faith are opposing it. Because I've noticed increasingly in the recent weeks in Charlottesville that a number of religious faiths in this town are opposing this amendment, and I just wondered if Lynn and Rosie could give us a little bit of information about that.
Hey, thanks, Lisa. Keep listening.
I will.
All right, ladies.
Okay, well, I know that Westminster Presbyterian Church, for example, passed a resolution opposing the amendment. Thomas Jefferson Memorial Church Unitarian Universalist came out strongly against the amendment and has a history going back to the 1970s of supporting same-sex unions. Rosie, you know there are other...
St. Paul's Episcopal, the one in town...
St. Paul's passed, Memorial?
There was, yeah, Memorial. There was a letter from the vestry urging people to... oppose the amendment. Sojourners United Church of Christ has opposed the amendment. And if you go to the Commonwealth Coalition website, you'll be able to, or the People of Faith for Equality
in Virginia,
you will find a long list of Christian, non-Christian denominations that that oppose the amendment. So it's not cut and dried. A number of fundamentalists would have us believe that it is, but there are many, many, many different ways to interpret the Bible, and I would hate to see one way enshrined as law in this state where religious freedom got its start.
All right, 11:42. Thanks, Lisa, for calling. That's you're welcome to call up and be just like Lisa and ask a good question. And there goes the phone now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins and Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, The Hook tells of a Monticello High School junior who reported others for drinking alcohol but then found herself suspended. The Fearless Consumer reports that building permits may be needed, even if the contractor says they're not. And did you know that parents in Albemarle County must attend a driver's ed course before their child gets behind the wheel? The Hook, where your sexual interest doesn't matter. And additional support today coming from 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And don't be going nowhere, because George Bell will be here with Les Temps Perdue at the top of the hour. It's the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Huey Lewis, no Tiffany, no Menudo. I don't know why. But you will hear R.E.M., Dead Milkmen, and Replacements. And requests are always welcome. That's Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN. All right, 11:44 here on the wake-up call. Plenty of time for phone calls. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. And we got Linda from Crozet. Hey, Linda.
Hi.
Tell us what you're thinking.
Well, first, Rick, I'd just like to thank you for, and your two guests, for your courage and the clarification of this issue. It's a divisive and distracting one. And I have a question for your guests. I was wondering if there would be any effects for non-gay couples, for heterosexual couples who are unmarried and choose to live together and even raise a family. Would these laws be harmful to them as well?
Great question, Linda. Keep on listening.
Okay.
Yeah, ladies, because I know that we sort of glossed over it in the beginning about even if you're not married and you have children together, doesn't one parent have to take ownership, I guess, of the child? That, and then if something happens, the other parent may have some trouble. So, ladies, jump on top of that.
Well, what this will do if you notice, it doesn't say unmarried same-sex couples. It says unmarried persons. So everybody in Virginia who's not legally married will be affected by this amendment should they be in a situation that is deemed to approximate the design of marriage. So not only would it affect custody among unmarried people, if there is contention over that, but it would also possibly affect domestic violence laws. I know that Ohio passed an amendment with language very similar to this, and now they have cases flip-flopping through the courts involving domestic violence disputes. In Virginia, it's my understanding that you can't get a restraining order that keeps a person away from you unless you are in a domestic violence case. Well, this would take domestic violence and consign it to married couples only. Unfortunately, I believe domestic violence disputes occur 60% in unmarried couples. So perhaps the proponents of the amendment intend to enact laws that would somehow extend these protections to unmarried heterosexual couples. But while they're doing that, and there's no, you know, I'm giving them a benefit of a doubt here that they would care about that, while they're doing that, people's lives will be trashed by domestic violence and the inability to do things such as keep the abuser away from the abused person, such as providing the abused person with transportation to a safe place, giving temporary custody of any children, and extracting a temporary child support payment from the abuser if necessary. All of that goes along with domestic violence laws that would be affected by this amendment. So yes, there are a lot of consequences which if the Attorney General McDonald can say that there are no unintended consequences, then clearly these people are also in his sights. I guess. Ooh. I don't know what else to make of it.
I have to get my friend Coy Barefoot to call him up and find out.
I think it's also instructive to look back at Ohio, and Rosie said cases are flip-flopping through the courts. And
that Ohio law, from my understanding, is over 2 years old, and they still haven't settled some of these things.
That's correct.
It takes a long time to settle things through the court, and it takes a lot of money.
And the legislature.
Yeah, and it's not just money that's coming out of the plaintiff's pockets. It's not going to only affect the people bringing the case. It's going to affect all of us in Virginia. We're all going to pay for the prosecution of these things. And in Ohio, one of the things that's happening is prosecutors are saying, we don't know if we can win this one or not, and so we're not going to take this. We're not going to extend the protection that you should have under the law because we don't know that it's a winnable situation.
That's right, because a lot of attorneys, state attorneys, the who are voted into office, they're concerned about their winning percentage because that's one of the key factors in how they get voted in again.
Well, you know, I don't think a prosecutor ever takes a case that he thinks he's going to lose. I mean, what would be the point?
Well, some have ethics.
But I think that when you bring a case, you bring it because you think you're in the right, you think you can win it.
Well,
and
thinking
you know,
that you'll win is maybe different from thinking that you're in the right, but
yeah.
But I get your point, which is you certainly wouldn't do so unless you felt that you might find others who also thought that you were in the right. All right, 11:49 here in the wake up call. You don't have to be a female whose name starts with an L to call us, like Linda and Lisa. 979-0919. Michael's out there, and please patch him through. You know, we were talking about the Ohio effect and what that happened on domestic violence, but there's other parts. Linda wanted to know about how this amendment may affect children. But there were also children of non-traditional families possibly losing the rights to the legal recognition of their relationship to both parents.
Exactly.
We touched on that. But who to stay with if one of their surviving parents passes away? The ability to health insurance, which we talked about early on, but we really didn't necessarily include the children as much as we did the same-sex partner. And then we really haven't touched very much on the economic influence on Virginia as a state and how that affects everyone, regardless of age, gender, sexual interest. If wealthy, successful businesses who are these 250 of the 500 Fortune 500 don't put their businesses in Virginia because these laws exist and they can't get the good employees they want to move here and work for them.
I think that's already happening. If you look in today's local paper, Bob Gibson wrote a commentary which talks about a pediatric anesthesiologist who moved to Vermont with her partner and their three children. And in Vermont, they can be legally recognized. The family, the three children, can be legally connected to both of the parents, which was not true in Virginia, which meant that the partner who is biologically the mother of only one of the children could not provide health insurance for her other two children. The University of Virginia lost, in this case, a pediatric anesthesiologist with a good amount of training, great experience, authoring textbooks. This is a real cost to Virginia if we can't keep or we can't attract people who are vitally needed because the laws prevent them from being able to take care of their families.
And one of the things that I found interesting, scary, maybe the better choice of words, is that with the amendment, it does not allow any other part of Virginia, city, county, area, to alter that ruling, to change that amendment, to make a different law, which may benefit them in terms of finding people to work in their school system, to put nurses or doctors in their hospitals, and to fill some of these, because for a wide variety, a big area in Virginia, the unemployment rate is ridiculously low, and we can't fill important job needs. And if we can't do that by bringing in the people that we need and keeping them, a good doctor, so as you mentioned, then where do we go from here? And apparently backwards about 200 years. It seemed to be what the Marshall Newman Act wants to do.
Well, you know, and it's big things and it's small things, too. I have a friend at work. I work for the University of Virginia, and the university can't give domestic partnership benefits. And there are things as small as you can't have your partner on your gym membership, so you have to join a different gym. If you want to be there with your partner. It's a small thing, but these small things really add up. They add up to making it a climate that is just not conducive to working in. It makes the everyday, daily things hard when you are not heterosexual.
Rosie, do you feel like you're being picked on? I would assume that being gay has its own difficulties that I can't imagine. But do you feel like that you're being picked on even more? Are you considering moving out of state if this passes?
Well, I was born in Virginia. I grew up here. I went to college here. I live here now. I'm kind of from Scots-Irish stock, and we're kind of like, leave us the heck alone. So I'm unlikely to leave. I'll just tell you that. I do feel like it's discriminatory. I feel like this amendment is creating a real second-class citizenship for me to step into. Well, not step into, but be shoved into. I don't know why people struggle with the concept of allowing two people who live together and love each other and have a committed relationship to pay for each other's health insurance. What religious laws does that violate, I wonder? Because I feel like somewhere at the back of all of this, the real question, the real agenda came out of the religious right. I don't believe that it came from the vaunted homosexual agenda. I think that the homosexual agenda, at least as far as I knew about it, was all about let's try to get equal rights to housing and jobs. And now suddenly we find marriage thrust upon us. And I think there's one big reason for that, and that's that it stirs people to come to the polls who are more conservative. I think that we're being used as meat to draw the conservative voters to the polls. We've been demonized. I live in a neighborhood with conservative neighbors who know me and are nice to me, and I put my vote no on number one sign in my yard in hopes that they'll realize I'm not a demon. I'm not a bad person. I don't deserve to be put into a second-class citizenship. My partner and I are facing retirement. For crying out loud, can't we at least be on the same health insurance plan? Do we really have to pay individual rates for both of us? And that's just my particular issue. People younger than me are facing similar discrimination in the areas of child raising. And I've always wondered this. If you're traveling through Virginia and you're coming from Massachusetts to Florida in the winter for a vacation and you happen to have a wreck in Virginia, and it happens that the biological parent of the child who's accompanying you doesn't survive the wreck, then what happens? I mean, the whole thing is just nightmarish as far as consequences, and I really don't believe that all the consequences are known and have been examined ahead of time, and I really feel like it's disingenuous for Attorney General McDonald to stand up there and say that this won't happen and that won't happen. I just don't think he can do that. I'm not sure he has the crystal ball.
You are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRSFM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Just a few moments left, 11:57 here with Lynn and Rosie as we talk about the Marshall Newman Amendment upcoming in your vote on November 7th, and you should get out and vote. There's a lot of other interesting votes out there. Virgil Goode and Weed and George Allen and Jim Webb and those are just the ones that I think show up on my ballot. By the way, you can catch this show if you joined us late, www.sevillepodcast.com. And I think one of the more interesting programs to listen to if you're not decided, so you're voting against me and you think you're going to vote for this amendment, go check out the... I think I called it debate, and the ladies told me that it deserved a different word. Mr. Marshall, and then another gentleman whose name escapes me.
Evan Wolfson of freedomtomarry.org, where you can hear the podcast.
The podcast is out there in several places, and they were at the law school, and Dahlia Lithwick from... Salon.com moderated. It was very entertaining. It was an interesting hour of discussion. And I just don't see where Mr. Marshall, he doesn't support himself. Rosie, as she mentioned outside in the lobby, he brought this up in January. He's had all this time to come up with his facts and support. He doesn't say anything in an hour. It's amazing. And please, if you're thinking about it, listen to it. All right, ladies, we got just a few seconds left. I'll let you roll out of here with what you'd like to say.
I'd just like to say thank you for having us to talk about this issue. It's important to get it out. It's important for our society to discuss some of these issues. and to come to terms with them. And I think if the generation of adult homosexuals now had had some freedom to explore what it meant and to come to terms with what their sexuality meant, then we would all be a lot healthier right now.
And I'd also like to thank you for having this discussion. I'd also like people to consider that marriage is touted as one of the things that adults do. You don't do it until you are responsible, hopefully, and it's the hallmark of an adult life, and it comes with a lot of responsibilities as well as benefits. Why would you want to deny those to me and my partner and people like us? We've taken them on willingly. We've tried to create legal documents that, in fact, are intended to approximate marriage so that we can inherit the goods that we've accumulated together, one to the other, and so that our daughter was protected. Why would you want to take that away?
And if it has no negative effect on you, why do you give a damn? All right, George is up next. Take care.